pray for you.
Say what?
I'm fine. I'm pretty bad.
What?
Well, yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Can you finish these lyrics real quick?
Oh, my anyways. God.
I'm feeling pretty glonky.
I'm pretty glonky.
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
That's my best way. That's my favorite way. That's my best way. That's my best way.
It's the best way.
It's the best way.
It's the best way.
Dude, we got to stop.
I know.
It's 20 seconds in, we're already doing a Trump impression. Anyways.
We just got to check it off the list.
Is the best.
that's like Trump trying to take a dump and talk to his secretary.
Donald Dump.
Oh,
that's a new skit we should do. Upload it to That's Movies Brother YouTube channel.
The biggest turds. I'm gonna shit. I'm like, wow, have you seen these turds?
I'm like, wow, I'm about to shit my pants.
Hey, sleepy Joe, come here and wipe my butt.
It stinks. Oh God, hold on.
Oh gosh. So our joke has become so real. Ugh. It's making Tyler choke.
Anyways, that's my favorite way to respond to somebody when they ask me how I am.
Yeah?
Dude, I can't. I'm really tired, guys.
Why are you so tired, Tyler?
This is going to be a fun one because I'm pretty glonky.
He's pretty glonky right now.
Yeah, my favorite way to respond when people are like, how you doing? I'm pretty glonky.
Pretty glonky.
Either I go, I'm pretty glonky, or I go, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Man, why are you so tired?
Because I'm exhausted because I partied so hard last night.
Bro.
I stayed up really late, and I did have a fire, and I had a couple of claws, I had a couple of white claws, and I wouldn't say I drink a lot by any means, but I was out by the fire, and we were sipping the claws, and by the time I went to bed and woke up, I'm like, yeah.
Well, also, dude,
yeah. Because I had 4 hours of sleep on top of, dude, it was...
Living life in the fast lane.
I guess so, dude.
But
never
dude,
again.
You are somebody who I would consider someone who treats their body like a temple compared to me. I'm throwing in Taco Bell, and I'm feeling pretty glonky all the time. So, yeah. But dude, how healthy do you think White Claws are compared
it's
to
just
like
water.
A beer? Just spicy water.
It's just spicy water. Shout out spicy water. It's just spicy water.
Yeah.
With a little bit of, like, it's like, imagine if you took, like, a liter of water, threw in some spice, and then you just got one drop of hand sanitizer in there and just shook it up.
And then a squeeze of lemon.
Yeah. Or whatever the flavor
a little garnish
is.
On top.
You know what's weird, though, is I don't like, What am I looking for? What are the words I'm looking for?
You
right
don't
now?
Like carbonated water?
Yeah, I don't like flavored carbonated water.
Like LaCroix?
Yeah, I don't like them.
See, I used to not like them because I was a little fat boy. Then I became a skinny adult, and then I became a fat adult again. But I used to hate LaCroix. Now I love them. But my spouse hates them.
I don't know what it is, though, because...
So I don't get them.
LaCroix?
The LaCroix.
I don't like. I've tried to drink them and like, but like, yeah, and then I'll like enjoy the first maybe half of it, quarter of it, and then I'll just
you gotta keep it cold,
and then I'll stop.
You gotta keep it cold.
But like, I feel like they're very similar to like White Claws, but yeah. I like White Claws. Like, what's the difference?
Well, I don't know.
The alcohol,
the alcohol.
But that's crazy because I don't really like the taste of like alcohol. Like to be like, I don't like beer.
Right.
Like any beer, to be honest. I've never really had a beer that I like. I like some wines. Really, like, if I have a go-to drink, it's just a White Claw. Just a little salty.
See, for me, I am not necessarily a carbonated drink person.
Yeah.
So even when it comes to sodas, a lot of the time, I opt for...
The uncarbonated sodas? Nice.
Dude,
I just like to open it and leave it on the table for at least a day.
So this is something, a guilty pleasure of mine. If I get a soda that's in a bottle that I can open, I will...
Yeah, that's what you do with bottles.
I'll pop it open.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah.
then I'll screw the top back on.
Yeah.
And then I'll shake it up a little bit to get rid of carbonation. Is that weird? I don't let it go all the way flat. That's freaking psychotic. But I get rid of it a little bit.
Have you ever heard of the Sprite challenge?
Yes.
Just like recently. You just get a normal regular, like 20-ounce, just normal bottle of Sprite, not like a 2-liter. And then you try to chug it without burping.
I don't think I could do it, but I would love to try.
We should do it on the podcast.
Oh, that
maybe
is...
next podcast. Next podcast, how we about have this? Nate.
For the 100th episode, we will do it.
That's the big fancy thing we're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, we got to do something. Like I said, I've been really pushing for a video podcast for our 100.
And then, but the thing is, once we start, we can't stop.
No, it's just the 100. It's fine.
So you
it's
don't
want to
do videos? It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
No, I mean, that'd be good. But, dude, it doesn't mean I don't drink unhealthy drinks. Like, I got a Stanley cup right here. You're thinking, there's water in there. Or coffee.
I did think there was water in there.
Bruh.
Kool-Aid?
This Georgia boy got some sweet tea.
I thought it was going
to
be Kool-Aid.
Clogging those arteries. No, but when it comes to alcoholic drinks, the only beers I'll drink are like lagers, some stouts, thick stuff.
Of course, I really like it.
I like Yingling, even though a lot of people call that a crappy beer.
You just like to guzzle down slime,
but it's got a bald eagle on it, brother.
Oh, that's why.
Freedom.
America.
It's the freest beer ever.
That is the freest beer I ever done.
And they say it's the oldest brewery in America.
Walked away. What are we saying?
Talking about beer.
Yeah.
But I like me some liquors instead.
Yeah. 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 Honestly, I feel like I'm not a big drinker. Like, I don't drink very often. Like, not all the time. But...
Bro, I got this guy at work. His name's Kevin. He's a part-timer for us. He comes in and... By the way, this podcast is brought to you by Sir Speedy Printing and Advertising.
You're even wearing the shirt, dude. Come on, change out of your work clothes.
Bro, I work for a living. I gotta do it, bro.
I'm in my work clothes.
You can't ninja. Yeah, you should ninja in what I wear to work.
Let's switch work clothes for a day. See what happens.
Hell yeah, brother. I don't know if I'll fit in your clothes.
I could find some you'd fit in, dude.
Yeah, sweet. So.
I can find. They're stretchy. All my stuff's very stretchy.
Good. Gotta be able to expand. This guy at my work, his name's Kevin. He's from Brooklyn.
Nice.
You know
why did you laugh at that?
Because
he's from Brooklyn.
Because I always make fun of his accent. He's this like 6'5" black dude at my work, and he like looking at him being in Georgia, you don't think he would have a Brooklyn accent.
Oh yeah.
So it's like I'm used to like country people and like people from Atlanta and stuff, and then when some guy walks in, he's just like, "Hey, how you doing?"
How you doing?
But dude, he's always like, anytime me and him have ever talked about alcohol, he's always like, "Bro, you gotta get Patron." He's like, "And Ciroc," and I'm like, "Brother,
brother, no thank you. I will pass."
He's like,
"Thank you very much."
And then he's like, goes out to his car and he brings in this bottle. He's like, "I got some Hennessy," and I'm like, "Now you're acting like somebody from Atlanta." Because that's all everybody wanted to drink in my high school. They're like, "I got some Hennessy from my parents' liquor cabinet."
Really? I'm trying to think. I don't know. I was a good kid, dude. I didn't drink underage. Okay?
I did so many stupid things underage. Nice. I'm not proud of it, but I don't mind. I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
People make mistakes.
I'll tell people I was a dummy, and I know I was a dummy. And I will straight up say, don't be a dummy.
Don't be a dummy.
Don't do it.
We should just one day, we should pick our best accents. It's not Trump, but we should pick our best accents. And me, you, and Nate just do a whole podcast episode in the accents as the characters.
Who's your best accent, you think?
Dude, I have no idea.
I don't know who my best accent is.
I don't know
is,
either.
But it's probably like Goofy or something.
Oh, my God.
Well, Tyler.
Okay. Anyways, shot that down. We're done. That's not happening. Never mind. Oh, my God.
Welcome back to Matt's Movies,
We're
brother.
Done. We're done. You're done.
You're fired.
Okay, so yeah, what are we talking about? This is the movie podcast. I feel like for a movie podcast, we haven't seen a lot of new things.
There's been some trailers out there, pretty cool.
Yeah,
there's, a movie,
there's also like movies that have come out that we really need to watch and like review. But man, our lives.
But some.
Been
but
busy
one of us doesn't watch them because he's preparing for a child and like Ant-Man.
Yeah, we were supposed to talk about Ant-Man.
Like when
not,
it came out.
Not great, but anyways, moving on. That was pretty.
It's all right. Whatever. Whatever.
Not great. Dude. Not a great movie.
So there's a movie coming out that I really want to see, and I don't know if you've seen the trailer for it. It's called The Covenant.
No.
It's a Jake Gyllenhaal flick. Ooh. Where he's a...
I do like the Gyllen.
It's like a... I think it's like a Desert Storm or like somewhere in Iraq kind of military movie where while he's deployed, he has a translator or an interpreter. And the guy's there and he wants to volunteer and help the American soldiers because he's a local. And turns out he's helping because he wants to get back at... I don't know who it is. I haven't really done too much deep diving other than watching the trailer of like Al-Qaeda or the Taliban killed his family and he wants to help the American citizens. And so his whole thing is like he becomes really good friends with this interpreter and then the interpreter gets taken. And so
is the movie called?
It's not Taken. It's called The Covenant. And so Jake Gyllenhaal's character
has to... You
did
say that. And let me tell you, I already forgot. That wasn't even a joke.
Jake Gyllenhaal calls this guy up. And he's like, I will find you.
There we go.
And I will bring you to justice.
I wouldn't be surprised if they reboot that series with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Hey, yeah. Anyways, it's all about him having to, like, he has to go outside of the military on his own, yeah, by himself, and get the guy who was taken.
Cool.
It looks good. Cool. It looks
you know
good.
What movie I saw for the first time ever? This past weekend, which I hope you've seen this movie, because I should have seen it.
I don't know, because I asked you if you've seen a lot of movies, and you say, no, I haven't seen that movie.
Here we go. Here we go. Let's show on Tyler.
It makes me feel better about not seeing Ant-Man.
Yeah, honestly, there's a lot of movies
I bully others because of how bad I feel on the inside.
I saw this little movie called The Nice Guys. Have you not seen The Nice Guys?
I don't know. I might have.
What?
I'm about to look this up.
It's either 2014 or 2016. I can't remember, but it's got people in it.
Well, I mean, that's
Ryan
really
Gosling.
Good. It's good for movies to have that.
And Ryan Gosling and, 2016. Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe.
Ooh, I know exactly what this movie is.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
We should
Very
watch
funny.
It and do a review on it.
I'd be down because I've already seen it.
Because
so.
It's on Netflix and I can watch it for free.
That's where I saw it.
Awesome.
At my friend's house. And he was like, you haven't seen this? We have to watch it. And he started playing it. So I was like, all right.
We got
to
do that and we should do Kung Pao and Enter the Fist.
Okay.
Be really good.
Nice Guys is... That'd be a fun one. That'd be a really good one because I feel like it's been a while since we've taken apart like a specific movie. But like especially like a comedy movie and like what makes it funny and like, yeah, what do we enjoy about it? Or is it just dumb? Because
also, it looks like one of those movies that gets glossed over very easily. That's kind of like a hidden gem.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot about it as far as like people saying it's good and whatnot. But
yeah,
saw that recently. Good movie. Do recommend if you haven't seen it. And then another thing I wanted to talk about before we get into our main topic here. I saw while scrolling through the Instagram that... Disney Plus, and I just want to know about what you think about this because it's strange. And we talked about this briefly before it started. We started recording. But they are coming out with, they posted this on Instagram 11 hours ago. It starts streaming April 7th. In quotes, it's called I Chose to Survive. Chose. It is chose. Diane Sawyer sits down exclusively with Jeremy Renner for the first interview since his life-threatening accident. Jeremy Renner, the Diane Sawyer interview, A Story of Terror, Survival, and Triumph, airs April 6th at 10 p.m. ET on ABC, streaming April 7th on Disney+. Okay, so... I don't know. I guess it's just a one-time thing and it's airing on ABC... maybe I'm just being real cynical. I don't know why. I don't want to be just cynical guy here, but I don't know why it feels very weird for Disney Plus to, and I didn't know it was also airing on ABC, but the first thought that I had when I read this right. was, oh, they're just trying to profit off of his terrible accident. And he is too, which, you know, fair right. enough. Like, look, if I went through a life-threatening thing, and I got through it, and I wanted to speak about it to people to like motivate them, and like that's an interesting story. Like I will admit, like there's a lot of cool things that could come from that, and you can share a lot of like inspiring things from that. maybe it's just because it's so soon. Like, it feels like it just happened. Maybe that's why it feels so weird, because it's like, I feel, this is like, again, these are very first reactions. I don't know anything about Jeremy Renner as a person. Obviously, I don't know him personally, but I don't really even know, like, I don't look up, like, the drama of, like, stars, right? So I don't know if he's one of those people that everyone's like, oh, he's super nice, or oh, he's a dick. I have no idea. So I'm just going to assume he's a great guy, because that's what I like to assume until I'm proven otherwise. So nothing necessarily bad towards him, but the first thing that went into my brain, which, again, this could be totally wrong because I don't want to pin someone down, but is, like, this happens, and, like, the first thought is, oh, let's turn this into a thing I can make money off of. It just seems weird. I don't know. Is that weird?
I don't think it's just you. I think there are a few things at play here. Yes, I believe that any kind of outlet that's able to make money off of a situation will. That being said, if it's a, you know, heroic story, because he basically saved his nephew from being ran over by a snowplow.
Yeah.
That was out of control, I think. I don't know. It was like a parking brake issue, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a cool story. That being said, the content of, yeah, I saw a snowplow going after my nephew and I pushed him out of the way and it hit me instead. That's the whole thing. There's probably more to that. It may be one of those things where it's a life-changing thing for him. Afterwards, it's been hard.
And, I think he, life-threatening, like, he almost died in this situation. So it's like, what do you learn from this near-death experience? You know what I think it is?
What? Is it because it's Disney the one doing it?
I think so.
Well, that's, you got to understand. Because
I'm looking at, like, as we're talking about it, I'm looking at it on Instagram, and they're showing, like, a trailer, and I don't have any audio on because we're talking. But there's, like, captions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might watch this. Like, it looks compelling. Yeah. So I'm sitting here, like, talking. Because, again, I'm not trying to, like, say I have a strong opinion. I'm trying to figure out my opinion as we talk about it. Like, so this is, I'm processing this as we talk.
This is the
issue,
which is
what I
think
about this podcast. Yeah. We can process as we talk.
This is the issue with that. I think it's because it's Disney is the one doing it.
And I just feel like recently Disney has done a lot of things of, like,
they're not radical necessarily, but they are very, you know, opinionated in things. And a lot of people disagree with them. A lot of people are for them 100,000,000%. A little, like, in a creepy way. and you know me,
I
have a Disney tattoo. That being said, it was because how I grew up, and it was a big part of my life growing up, and stuff. But I'm also, yes, I have a Disney tattoo, but I'm not, like, uber obsessed. Me and my wife are big fans, just because, like I said, me and her growing up, it was a big part of our lives. But I think it's just because a lot of people hate Disney right now.
Yeah.
And so, because they've been kind of put in a position where people are saying that they're doing things only because of the money.
Yeah.
Only because of the money. Only for profits. They're only a-holes because they want to make more money. And I think that is probably a driving factor of maybe why it feels a little soon. It feels a little advantageous for them. They're like, they're taking advantage of his very personal, very intimate, I guess, life-changing moment.
Yeah. I don't know. And again, I could be totally wrong. It's just, I think part of it is, again, I don't want to say I'm completely against Disney by any means. Like, they've made tons of awesome things. And look, I'd love to be in something that's like, again, it all depends on, like, I think with anything, what I want to be able to do, especially as, like, an actor, it's like, I want to do projects I am passionate about, obviously. So it's like, regardless of who's making it, if they're making it for the right reasons and it's something that I enjoy,
you
want to
be proud
of
putting your name on it.
Right, so, and I'm not trying to say, like, oh, everything Disney puts out is great, but, like, I think recently, and maybe it hits close to home because he is a part of the Marvel Universe, and my thoughts recently, especially since we were just talking about Ant-Man, is, like, that seems like something that recently they have been just putting things out, and they're less concerned about quality and more concerned about the quantity, which just to make more money.
Because you got to understand, they are putting it, it's on their streaming service, which they've had, you know, dry spells, and they've had kind of, like you said, there's a quantity, not a quality to the stuff that they're putting on there. Because when it first came out, in the first few, like, Disney Plus exclusives, originals, whatever you want to call them, I think were absolutely sick. Their documentaries were great.
Don't they have one? Isn't it on Disney Plus?
Plus, the one with Chris Hemsworth, and he's like doing all these like life changing like adventurous.
I think it's on their stuff. National Geographic.
Okay, section.
Or no, is it History Channel? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Oh gosh, I'm a horrible person.
But that looks interesting. Mm-hmm. I've seen clips from that, and I really want to watch that.
It's like Bear Grylls.
I'm not trying to say like you know everything they put out is, but it's like garbage or anything like that. It was just interesting. I saw this right before we started recording, and I wanted to talk about it because
they also have their things.
I'm just torn about it.
I want your opinion on something. Do you think it's weird that they both own Hulu, a streaming service, and Disney Plus, a streaming service, and they're two separate things? They have different things on each one. Do you think that's weird?
Disney owns Hulu?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And they own ESPN Plus.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Disney that's why you always everything. See the packages.
Disney owns everything.
Yep. So. They own my house.
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest.
Yeah, but I had to go up to the mouse, and he said, I'll lend it to you.
Oh, my God. We got Goofy. We got Mickey. We should just stop there. We should stop.
You want me to try my Donald Duck?
Wow, dude. So good. So good. Yeah, I don't know. I just find it interesting, but I was watching the trailer, and I actually might watch it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sitting here saying this, and
I
it's
might
like,
watch it.
And now, like, Disney's yeah. like, exactly, we made it. You want to watch it? Bada bing, bada
That's
boom.
Why we made it, yeah, for like, you to watch it.
So, who cares what I'm saying?
So, what you're saying is it does look interesting, but you don't know how you feel about it because it's so close to the event actually happening. And
I don't know why. I'm just
poster
expressing.
Childs.
I'm just expressing that my
poster
first.
Childs. Poster childs. Children? Poster. I don't know.
My first initial reaction was, that's strange. That's all.
Yeah.
But maybe my first initial reaction is wrong.
Well, at least it's not like the Will Smith interview stuff that's been memed the hell out of.
What?
The thing where his wife was...
Where they... You're talking about the red table or whatever that they do? Like
Will Smith, you know that his wife interviewed him or whatever, and there was the whole thing about him getting cucked.
Wasn't that just like a YouTube thing that they did where they sat down with
their
family and talked? Like,
but
they,
like, imagine like after that whole thing happened, and then they did another interview about him.
We got into an entanglement, and then he goes, you mean a relationship? And she goes, she's like,
yo.
She goes, yeah, a relationship. Okay. And you cheated on him then.
So are we going to try to do a Will Smith impression on this?
That's hot.
That's tight.
That's hot.
That's hot.
So bad. I don't know. Oh, did you see Chris Rock's special? I didn't watch it.
No.
But it's on Netflix. We should watch it.
Oh, I hear you.
Have you seen the
talks about it?
Yeah, have you I've seen that part of it.
Do you think you would have taken a slap from Will Smith very well? Or do you think you would have retaliated?
I don't know. I really don't, because I think like in the moment I'd want to I don't know. Because that's like fight or flight, right? It's like what are your instincts?
Well, here, answer this for me. I know you're not Chris Rock. I know you're not somebody with decades of stage experience and
I know no one knows you and no one loves you and you're unimportant to the world. But if you were
Chris Rock, do you think you would have had it in you to not be speechless? Because he kind of jumped, he bounced back from that pretty quick. He's like,
oh, he
man,
he did.
Will
really
Smith
well.
Just slapped the shit out of me.
he was very.
That's
he
the,
was very professional.
The joke was kind of it was. The joke was very mean, but he did come back from that pretty well.
What joke was very mean?
He was talking about his wife.
The joke was not very mean.
He called his wife G.I. Jane.
That's
mean.
It's a joke. Dude, okay, no, I
no, I mean
I
it was
disagree.
A mean joke, but it's not like a purposefully
G.I.
mean.
G.I. Jane is like a power, like a strong, powerful dude. There are so many jokes that are so much worse. G.I. Jane is actually like a positive female like character. It's not like he's like she's a little troll goblin, and even then, like I've heard people comedians roast people in the audience and call them troll goblins, and they.
But
laugh.
You gotta understand,
it's
it wasn't
a joke,
personally mean. It was just a pretty mean
not,
joke.
No, it was
like
not.
I make mean no, jokes at you because I care about you.
Right, but I don't even think it was really that mean. It was it, dude. It was such a tame joke. It was such a tame joke.
It could have been worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Not worth slapping somebody over. Nothing Whatever. Is. It's a comedian. That's the whole point. Can't go to a comedy show and not expect to maybe get roasted.
Yeah, anyway. Anyway,
you're basically saying that I wouldn't have slapped someone said that about your wife at a comedy show. You would have walked
my
up
wife.
And
who's my wife?
What?
Who's my wife?
I said if someone said that about your wife.
What about my wife? Who's my wife?
That you.
What's my wife's name?
I'm like, no, we're not going here.
Because if you say it, I'm gonna slap the shit.
Anyways, so yeah, that's it. That's all the stuff I had for that before we get into the main topic, which is Mandalorian.
Mandalorian season 3 episodes 1 and 2. We're pacing ourselves. I know that those happened a while ago, but we got to have can't just do it all at once.
We could, but
we're milk this sucker.
I'm pretty sure there were only 3 episodes when we first decided to do this. Now there's 4 out.
Yep. That way next week we can maybe do 2.
Yes.
On this.
How many episodes are there in a season?
8.
Okay.
That's typically what they do. That's like 8 episodes.
Question. Before we get into Mandalorian specifically, what are your thoughts about Star Wars? In general, but also most importantly, Star Wars recently. I would like
Star Wars recently. In what things recently? In the news recently and just general?
No, like
what are the last few things
out
to come
of the
out?
Content that's come out? Are you happy with it? They've dropped the ball. Are you a big Star Wars fan? Were you a big Star Wars fan before Disney took over? Like, what are your thoughts about the Star Wars?
Because
that's going to play a role into all the stuff that's happening now with The Mandalorian, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty big Star Wars fan. I'm not the biggest. Like, I love the lore of Star Wars. It's not the biggest.
I'll show you the biggest, but this isn't it.
Like, I think Star Wars, when there's somebody, and we've talked about this before, but when there's somebody who loves and cares about the storyline and the history, and the quality of the universe, we see amazing things happen. When it's a cash grab, which I think in Star Wars, I think when you can see a cash grab very easily. I think it's very easy to differentiate that from a quality story, you know, quality writing.
I would hope so.
No, I'm just saying, like, sometimes it's like there's a line that's blurred and it's like, I don't know. I think in Star Wars, it's a very harsh line. I think the same thing goes with the MCU.
You
know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. So I think I have mixed feelings about stuff. I'm also somebody who hated Rogue One when it first came out.
That's ridiculous. That was
such a
good
movie. I did
not
like it. Like, I was like, oh, okay, the robot's funny. But dude,
I like
Star Wars droids are just the best thing in the world. When George Lucas was writing this, he's like, all right, we got robots, but we're not going to call them robots. We're going to call them droids. And they're going to be the best thing in the world. I was like, good job, Georgie. And after, you know, it probably took me a year to be like, this is a good movie.
Yeah.
Because I think it was just, Star Wars universe movie.
Not
it wasn't
Jedi related, not Skywalker related.
It wasn't a trilogy. It wasn't Star Wars episode whatever. It was just Rogue One. And I think I was kind of, this is different and I don't like it. I wasn't trying to do a Mickey Mouse voice, but it kind of sounded like it. And so it was very easy for me to get butthurt because of that. But I kind of got over that pretty well, I think, and that being one of the better in the entire universe. But as far as recently stuff, I think, and I'm trying not to be a bandwagon person,
right?
But everyone has said it already. Everyone's kind of hit the nail on the head for me with how everything's been. With obviously Mando has been great. I'm a complete fanboy bandwagoner when it comes to that. And when they came out with Boba, I was like, all right, this is really slow. This is really, I don't know. And then
really
Mando comes
bad.
Back, and I'm like, okay, this is great again. Why?
Dude, I've heard Boba Fett by a lot of people, even people that like Mandalorian and all the other Star Wars stuff. They're like, oh, Boba Fett's bad. Like, they'll just say it's bad.
It's just weird.
I didn't watch it because I didn't
It's
care.
Because there's a big disconnect between him, his character from the original trilogy, and who he became. They tried to make him go through this character arc of, like, now he fights for honor and all this stuff, and it really didn't work. They didn't sell it. I would love to him to be a little more ruthless, to be more of a scumbag.
Yeah, I heard that he kind of sucks. Like, actually doing anything and actually fighting people and like being like this badass.
I think it kind of sucks. I think what's his name? What something Morrison?
What's his name?
Oh gosh,
who?
The guy who plays Boba Fett now.
Oh sure, yeah.
He
I like how you say now. He's the guy that played Boba Fett back in Clone Wars
in 80 what?
80.
You know what I'm saying?
Not in 80.
But he wasn't the original Boba
Fett.
Yeah,
he was.
He wasn't the original voice. He wasn't the original. He was original Jango
Fett.
Okay,
I'm sorry. That's what I meant. He was Jango Fett.
Yeah, yeah,
the original Boba Fett, the first time we ever saw Boba Fett.
The guy's an old man or dead. I don't know.
Yeah, but the first time we saw Boba Fett's face
right.
was a child.
Right, right, right. And it's a different actor.
Yeah.
Which I was
it's
really
the, well, it's the same actor who played Jango Fett.
Right, right, but I meant the...
And Boba Fett is just a clone.
I meant the original Boba They're Fett clone clones. Kids from yeah. Clone Wars. Or no, from Attack of the Clones.
That's what I meant, too. I meant
Attack. That kid, honestly, would have been a good almost a good age to use as...
But it doesn't really make sense, because he's a clone, so you should get the guy who...
No, you're right, of him. But they could have done whatever they wanted. I would have been fine with whatever. I'm glad that they got him back for continuity reasons.
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
He's also the father in Aquaman.
He is.
Anyways.
Isn't he a little big boy? I was like, this Boba Fett's got some meat on his bones.
Bubble Fett.
Boba's Fett.
Bubble Fett. I mean, Boba Fett.
okay. I'm sorry. The imagery has to be on par for me. I love imagery. I love iconic scenes. I love iconic framework.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's this really hard, unattainable male figure that, you know, society has tried to push on us men, and it's, you know, it's sexist.
It is. It's really ridiculous. We have a really hard out here.
Body image.
Yeah. Sometimes I wish I wasn't a white male. It's just hard.
Bro, just kidding. Try being Mediterranean.
I hate you, dude. You're so white. It's stupid.
I'm not white. I am white.
Anyways,
you ever seen Dodgeball?
No.
Anyways, Ben Stiller's character in there is like the biggest douchebag in the world, and he's like making a joke about himself. And he's like, "You know what? I'm white.
I'm white. I'm the whitest man."
All right. Sorry, I
walked in here and I said, "Wow, this man's white."
I apologize. I took this in the wrong direction.
Anyway, so Star Wars. So,
what do you feel about the way things have been?
Star Wars.
You thinking they're going to be more quantity now?
4, 5, 6. Great. Classics. 1, 2, 3.
Got better, didn't they? They got better.
They got better after the sequels came out because the sequels are so bad.
All right. Okay. So episode 2 is pretty still. I think it's still kind of funky.
What is?
Episode 2.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yes.
still pretty bad.
Oh, it's bad. They.
It's like
episode
sand. It's
two
so
is rough. But. They're all right. Like the as a whole, those three. Second one is doo doo garbage. 1 and 3. 1's pretty good. 3's really good.
Isn't it weird how like all right when 3 came out, I was like all right, it's a good, it's all right. But like how well it has aged.
Yeah, everyone loves Revenge of the Sith.
It's crazy. I would not have guessed that it would be this good now.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a minute. But
do you think that's because of the new sequels that had came out? The sequel
probably.
Trilogy.
As far as the sequel trilogy goes, I really liked, and maybe this is a hot take, I really liked Force Awakens, the 7. I thought it set, now, was it a rehash of A New Hope? Sure. But, like, there were new characters and things going on that I really enjoyed, and I thought, like, Kylo Ren was set up really interesting.
Oh, he started out as, like, an extremely interesting
character.
And then
they threw his character in the toilet.
Yeah,
in the toilet.
A little bit. Like, they had good kind of ideas.
Everything was set up really well
in the third.
But here's the thing. You know that what's his name?
Well, I'm going to let you simmer on
that. Who directed Force Awakens? J.J. Abrams. James Abrams.
I was about to say James Cameron.
I don't know if that's his name, but now I'm calling him James. So James,
his name's probably James,
was supposed to direct 7, 8, and 9. So he had an idea for the entire trilogy arc. Mm-hmm. He directed 7. I don't remember what happened, but he had to pull out of eight.
Some, I think it was like some creative differences with the studio or something.
I don't think it was. That's usually what it is. I thought it was like a personal life thing that came up and he had to pull out. Regardless, and then Ryan Johnson stepped in
right
to do The Last Jedi, and he basically took everything that happened in 7 and was like, from what I understand and from watching the movie, and just kind of turned it on its head and was like, oh, but not really, and made everything different and twisted and like basically destroyed everything that was set up for 7. And then J.J. Abrams came back and he's like, what did you just do to my story? Like, you destroyed my story arc.
He kind of came back in, rolled up his sleeves and be like, all right, let's try to fix it.
Right, but it made, oh my God. The Rise of Skywalker is the worst Star Wars movie that exists. It is so bad. I remember in the theater, like, watching it and being like, oh my God, what is happening? Like, it's ridiculous. And he tried to, it seems like he tried to, so episode 8, like, retcons a bunch of stuff that happens in 7. And right. Then instead of just like being like, all right, well, this is where it's going now, let's continue the story from here, he's like, no, I want to go with my original vision. So he then retcons stuff from 8 to go back to what it was supposed to be in 7, and everything is so convoluted and messy. Yeah, ever since that came out, like, it was bad.
I think it's also, they, I don't know what J.J. Abrams' original thought for the Palpatine situation was. Or for...
It kills me that Palpatine came back.
It doesn't necessarily kill me. No, it kills me that he came back in the way that he did.
It destroys the whole purpose of the first 6 movies. Yeah. All 6 movies is about Anakin, Darth Vader, and the Skywalkers, and how Darth Vader, Anakin, is the chosen one, because he is the one that set things right with the help of his son to bring him back to the light side. He actually kills Palpatine. If he's not dead, all those are for waste. And all those,
like,
are for naught.
And it's like, okay,
you destroyed his whole character arc.
He's bringing balance to the Force, right? This shit is so unbalanced. Like, what is going on? Shit is so unbalanced.
Yeah, I don't know, but...
What about all these midichlorians? Come on, now.
Yeah, that's never talked about again, huh?
Have you seen the first time they talk, Anakin talks about midichlorians, and he goes, he's talking to Qui-Gon, and he goes, what are midichlorians? It sounds like AI. They had AI back then.
I don't know if it was an AI video or just someone who can do an impression.
I sent you this, I think.
Did you? It's about cocaine?
Yes.
He's like, what are midichlorians? Qui-Gon goes, it's cocaine.
It's cocaine, yeah. That part's definitely a AI, but...
Well, I'm saying I don't know if it's AI or if it's a guy who does, like, a really good,
it's AI.
Liam Neeson impression.
It's AI.
Okay, fine. Everything's AI now. Anyways, and then, so, yeah, I heard Boba Fett was garbage. I didn't even feel like wasting my time.
You need to watch it for the second half. And especially if you are a fan of Clone Wars, the series.
I'm not. I don't care about, like, the animated show. Dude, I can't tell you how many times I tried to watch it, and I can't. I just can't. I can't. I feel like I'm watching a show for a 10-year-old. I can't do it. Fight me. I can't do it. I've tried, dude. I've gotten through, like, the whole first season, and everyone's like, you just got to get through it. I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't want to.
It's like, I don't care enough.
Okay. I will. It is not for everyone, but, and I...
I'll do hear it gets more mature and better as it goes on.
I didn't like it when it started.
But I'm not just going to watch the last season and not know what's happening. So it's like, I'm not going to suffer through the first 2 or 3 seasons.
Well, this is what I would recommend. If you want to know all the little lore and things that are set up in the universe that is built because of Clone Wars, you can do what I do when people are like, you got to watch this anime. And I'm like, all right, I like some anime, but I don't like all anime.
Yeah.
Like, my buddy was like, Naruto's sick. And I'm like, okay, I'll watch it. Why are there a million episodes that don't do anything with the storyline and it's just filler?
Yeah.
And so I looked up online. There's a little guide that says, don't watch this episode. Just watch this.
Yeah.
All right. Cuts off like 100 episodes. Like, this is sick.
Okay. Yeah.
You need to find one of those. Yeah, I think you might be able to get by that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, so yeah, I've kind of fallen off the Star Wars thing after the sequels, and I watched the first season of Mandalorian.
Wait, before we get into The Mandalorian, have you seen the video where, I'm such a loser. We gotta stop doing these so late. Luke Skywalker, the actor.
The actor of Luke Skywalker?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a dude.
He's a guy. What's his name?
What is his name?
Golly, stop. You mother. Yeah, okay. Okay, guys, we love Star Wars. I promise we love.
Come on, you can do it. I believe in you. I believe in you.
Gosh.
You can do it.
Well,
Mark Hamill.
Okay, I didn't even have to. Thank you. You should have just started with that one.
I didn't remember. I looked it up.
Oh, you're just faster.
Dude, I really like. It's becoming a joke. It's becoming like a meme at this point that we just have to keep doing. But it's not a joke. It's really not. I keep forgetting actors' names when we hit record. And I feel like it usually doesn't happen until we're recording a podcast.
Yeah, maybe we should just like pull up every Star Wars actor ever. Yeah. No. Did you hear him like his first like when he was asked about what do you think of this character in this new movie series trilogy that they're doing and his smart aleckness? Mark Hamill.
About who?
He was asked about Rey. What do you think about Rey's story and all this stuff? And he's like, "You know what? It's actually pretty good. It's a young person who doesn't live with her parents, you know, finds out that she has abilities and lives on a desert planet with two sons. It's really original." And he's like being such a big smart ass.
Dude, he ripped apart the new movies and how they portrayed Luke and all that. And like, he was not a fan. That sucks, man. To be the actor in something, to be one of the most iconic characters and iconic heroes of all time. You played Luke Skywalker.
Like, that's what people know you for.
Like, that is one of the most iconic heroes of all time, and you played him. And then you're like, you know what? It's been many, many years. We want to tell a new story, you know, of like, what he's doing and introducing other characters. Let's pick up this mantle. Let's do this again. And then they shit all over your character. Dude, I would be devastated. Like, if they did that to me, like, to me, Spider-Man is number one.
But also, character.
So if I was Spider-Man, and then they brought me back to play, like an old, like, weathered Spider-Man, who, you know what I mean? And then they just, like, nah, duty poo-poo, Spider-Man. And I'm like, what are we doing? And you can't say anything because you're under contract. Well, I mean, he did say
something. Now I shoot webs from my eyeballs. Away!
Yeah, it's...
Well, he's also at that level where... He is Luke Skywalker. No matter what they do, he could say the worst crap about Lucasfilm. He could say the worst crap about Disney, and they really couldn't replace him.
Well, he's dead now, so.
Mark Hamill's dead?
Luke Skywalker's dead.
Bro, he's in the Force. He lives forever.
Whatever. There's no rules of anything.
He's hanging out with Yoda.
That's another problem
with
Star Wars that I don't like, is there's no rules anymore, especially with the new movies. It's like, you can Force heal. What? That would have been good in the first six movies.
Yeah, I think so.
The Force Ghost can now lift X-Wings out of a pond.
Well, that's always been a thing.
The Force Ghost have never in the past been able to interact with physical objects before.
You're right.
Until... It's like, they might as well be alive at this point. Like, what's the point? Now there's... At least the Force Ghosts, like, they were there as, like, this mentor. It's like, so there's still this feeling of, like, weight and gravitas of when someone dies because, like, they can't interact with something. But they can be this mentor, but they're not there. They're just this voice in this ambiance that they can see. And it's like, dang, dude, they're dead. They're trying to help me through this. But now it's like, oh, no, they can just use the Force now. So being dead doesn't actually matter.
Yeah, and I think when they got rid of Legends... which is the original expanded universe of Star Wars. Now it's just called Legends, where it's all just like not canon. It's all just like mythos that we're kind of fake. It's fiction in the universe. Yeah. There was a lot of stuff like that. There were a lot of different powers and like healing and force speed and all this other stuff. And then when they got rid of that, it's all not a thing. So when they introduce new things, they've got to do it in a way that's kind of, makes more sense.
Yeah.
But, because force healing is a thing. It's been in the games, it's been in books, it's been in a lot of things. And the fact that a little baby can just do it is a little weird.
Okay, yeah, we're talking
about
Mandalorian at this point.
He's also 50.
Yeah. I was mainly talking about when it first showed up. Wait, did it first show up Mandalorian?
Yeah.
But it happened at like the same time as when it happened in the Rise of Skywalker with Rey. So...
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Whatever. Anyways, it just, they don't explain.
Forced teleportation?
And they don't explain, yeah, they don't explain the rules. There's like, oh, let me just force teleport this lightsaber to you.
Then, dude, you need to watch Rebels. You need to watch Rebels. You'll be like, what the hell is going on? Because they do a lot of cool things in Rebels that you will love. They also do a lot of things that are out of left field. It's like,
it's just,
that makes no sense.
It doesn't make a story interesting if you can do anything you want whenever you want just to make the plot move along. It's like, oh, there's no stakes. There's no consequences. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, they can do anything. So it doesn't really matter. Like, I don't feel like anyone's in danger. That's why it's like superheroes are interesting to me because they have a set of powers and that's it.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have. That's why I originally didn't.
Except Superman.
I didn't ever like Superman.
There's this weird thing in like the 60s or something where he just kept getting new powers and new abilities.
But he was still even almost too OP for me to even enjoy, but now I've come around to him.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we should talk about The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian.
So we'll talk specifically about the first two episodes. Let me tell you, though, how I kind of feel about it. Kind of forgettable. You might hate me for saying that. As far as like the show, just because I can't remember exactly specifics of what happened, but I remember watching the first season and liking it. Mm-hmm. And then I remember watching the second season and I don't remember really anything that happened. I don't remember any specific episodes, but I think I enjoyed it. I remember Luke Skywalker coming in and tearing everything up at the end.
You want me to give you like the main plot details just to get us to where we are now?
They travel, he goes on different missions to different planets to try to get Grogu from one place to another, and I need this part for my machine, and he goes and does that. It's like side quests for every episode of a D&D adventure. That's really what it is.
Yeah, and that's not the first time it's been mentioned, and it will be mentioned again in the future. I mean, it's just trying to just give you this character and just, you're like living with this character in the universe. It's not necessarily these big monumental events.
It doesn't have to be.
It's very small contained stories.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's, like I said, I remember enjoying the first two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that have to be big stories. They do have to be interesting, though. If you're going to tell me a story, it needs to be interesting or I'm not going to watch it. The end. I'm not saying they weren't, but I remember, I think, enjoying them. But just because of all the other Star Wars stuff that's come out, and I just haven't been as... Mandalorian didn't like make me go, oh my god, I have to watch the next thing that's coming out. I'm not saying it wasn't good. I know a lot of people loved it, but it didn't like grip me. Oh, Obi-Wan. The Obi-Wan series. That was another one that I watched, and I'm like, man, Star Wars sucks.
Yeah.
Problems with that. Well,
instead of saying hello there, I was like, goodbye there.
But it's just... So, when it comes to Mandalorian... I did like the first two seasons, so I'm willing to like jump into this third one. And I knew like, oh, you have to see Boba Fett because like two or three of the episodes are just all about Mando and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm not gonna watch him. Sorry. Yeah.
And
because I don't want to, because I've heard Boba Fett's bad. I mean, I guess those episodes were good, but like, I don't know. It's just,
literally, okay.
Marvel. Everything ties in. I don't even know what parts tie in.
Yeah. I'm not gonna spoil the good stuff. Just in case you decide to watch it.
I don't care.
Okay.
Because so we're at Mandalorian season 3, so I'm already past that. I need to know what happened to understand.
All right. So, yeah. All it was is just Boba Fett is now, he gets saved by sand people from the Sarlacc pit. And then him living with them for who knows how long. He gets pretty fat, so I'm assuming it's at least 2 years.
He gets pretty fat.
And he sees like, they eat good out there. He basically gets a... He develops a bond with these people and their culture, and he learns hand-to-hand combat, which I feel like him being a Mandalorian warrior that he is, or whatever, bounty hunter, should be able to kick all their asses. Doesn't happen. So he learns their ways, the Last Samurai style.
But he's not a Mandalorian. Boba Fett's not a Mandalorian.
Well, he technically is.
I didn't think he was.
He
just got Mandalorian
Oh, that's
armor.
Right. You're going to have to... I'm going to have to tell you because you didn't
watch. I don't
watch.
Care. Tell
it
me.
Explains it. He basically does this whole, look at my family tree. And he pulls up a little hologram and it shows his father who there's always been this thing where he stole the armor from a Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Mandalorian.
Right.
But he actually, it was his. It was passed down to him. And him, even Recon. Though he is a clone, he was still given the trained in the Mandalorian ways or told of the Mandalorian ways. And when he is Mandalorian. They retconned that. Okay. First he wasn't a Mandalorian, now he is again. Flip flop. Anyways, so basically He's pissed off at the Hutts because of, for some reason, it's not really important. There's bands of pirates or people, and he just saves the town, whatever, and he replaces the Hutts. That's literally all it is. It's just organized crime stuff that's not really that interesting.
Yep.
In the last episode, there's a character that's from the Clone Wars shows up who apparently is a big person to Boba Fett as a kid, and they have a duel, and they... Boba Fett wins with the help of Mando. And Mando's got the sword still and doing all that stuff. And but that sums it all up. There's no point other than to make Boba Fett
my
the
real
crime
question
lord.
Was, which wasn't, my real question was, what happened with Mando?
Not
that's
much.
Important
it's
to
only, the only
three.
Stuff that mattered to him, that mattered with him, is that he learned to wield the Darksaber. There's an episode or two where he's with the, he's with, I think his name was Prime something Vizsla, which is one of the original owners of the sword, his ancestor.
Okay.
They fight over it. Mando still wins. He's with the armorer. She makes an appearance. She tells him the story of it, and he learns how to properly wield it.
Okay.
Because it's not like a normal lightsaber.
The only other really important thing that I saw a clip of, but I didn't see the whole scene, so I don't really know all the reasoning behind this, is I know this is important, and it's Luke Skywalker starting to train Grogu, and then he's, because at the end of season two, he gives him up, because right. That was the whole point for the two seasons, and then after all that, Grogu's, I want to go back to daddy. Like, yeah. What happened? He just decided, I want to go back, because he's like, I'm giving you a choice.
Yeah.
You either go towards the lightsaber or towards whatever.
So basically, there was this thing. Mando makes a chainmail of Beskar, and he brings it to Luke, and he's like, look, I just want him to be safe. I know he's with you, but this is my parting gift for him. Gives him some chainmail and stuff, and he's like,
yep.
This whole thing where you can't have that and a lightsaber for some reason. It's not the Jedi way, apparently. And Grogu's given a choice, and because he cares for him so much, he's like, screw you, and he goes with him. And it's weird. There's almost like a montage of him learning how to do front flips. And
who?
Grogu. He learns how to do Jedi flips and stuff. And he's sitting there crisscross applesauce with his...
I hate it. Meditating. I'm sorry, I do. I hate it.
No, it's...
But
it
then, so
worse.
Then he decides...
He decides that I want to be with Mando. And so Mando takes him back as a foundling and trains him, is going to train him to be a Mandalorian.
Okay.
So expect to see a little tiny Mandalorian helmet with ears poking out.
This is going to sound bad because I know this whole Baby Yoda thing or Grogu, whatever is...
He's Baby Yoda.
Is the little heart and soul of this series, and everyone loves him, and he's so cute. It's getting overplayed, and it's getting dumb, in my opinion. Yeah. Okay, so I'm all caught up. I know everything I need to know, pretty much, to really start talking about these first two episodes now.
And the last thing is that because Mandalorian showed his face, and he told... his sect, the armorer, the leader of the sect, that he did do that, he's been banished.
I think I remember that. Wasn't that at the end of the second season, though?
I don't remember. See, that's an issue, too, is that they need to kind of have bigger moments than that. But anyways, yeah, so that leads us to where we are now.
Okay, so again, from what I remember, I enjoyed the first two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Not this one, dude. I'm not in it at all. I'm not liking it. I have so many problems already, and we're only two episodes
really?
In. Yes.
All right, so we start
so
off.
Be interesting,
because
I know you're
one.
All about it, so we can be at odds here.
I mean, it's not as, like, breathtaking or money shot oriented, you know what I mean? As
I think
what a lot of the other shows kind of make happen in the first episode or two to kind of draw you in.
Oh, I don't think it. In my opinion, it's not just that. Like, you don't need a huge giant thing to draw me in. Just again, make it interesting. Make it make sense.
Well, the first episode is really nothing.
And well, the thing is, it just doesn't make sense. Yeah. There's multiple things that happens in both these episodes that don't make sense. They just don't. So, first of all, I'm trying to even think where the first episode starts.
He's okay, so they're on a planet where the Mandalorians are kind of settling. They've settled there.
Yeah,
I don't know if
it's attacked by this thing.
I don't know if it's
Navarro
or not.
Saves them and whatever.
Which I thought that was a flashback. I thought that was like little baby Mando when he's
I did too.
And then he shows up and saves the day, whatever.
Oh, okay. So,
also, that big ass turtle gator thing, These guys are loaded to the teeth with weaponry, and they are struggling so hard to take this thing out. I mean, I get it.
It was supposed to be this big, epic battle that I just didn't care about. Like, it felt like there were no stakes. It felt like nothing was actually happening. And then, of course, Mando swoops in and boom, boom, bada bing, bada boom, it's fixed. And that seems how, like, every episode.
He's like there just to save the day. I don't get it.
It's either Mando's there to save the day or someone comes in and swoops in and saves
Mando.
We already
know
he's
a badass. We already know he's a badass. You don't have to keep
or Mando's really dumb because there's many times he'll get stuck in really dumb situations.
Like,
and then someone else
will
come in and save him. And it's like, what are we doing? There's no consistency.
Right.
But I don't understand because I remember he showed his face at the end of season or in season two. And I remember I thought I remember him basically, after meeting Bo-Katan and all this stuff, basically saying, like, questioning the Mandalorian ways and kind of almost agreeing that, like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, he was learning, like, this is what I got from it. Maybe I completely misread it. But in that second season, when he took his helmet off, he was progressing and having his own character arc and saying, you know what? I am more than just this clan of Mandalorians. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do things just because I'm told to do them. I am going to have my own reasons to do things and be my own person and my own warrior. And he decided to take off his helmet because it felt like it was what he should do in the moment to share himself with Grogu or whatever. You know what I mean? And it felt like when he did that to me, I loved that ending because to me it was like, oh, he went against his ways because he's learning about himself and he's learning that this is what he's deciding to do and that he knows he's not going to be, even if he's banished from his clan, that he's not a terrible person for doing this and that everyone has their own ways and their own reasonings, but he doesn't have to abide by them. And so I thought it was a good character moment.
It's like his creed is going from this sect of Mandalorian warriors to my creed is, I'm going to say,
my morals and values.
My relationship, my family, which is with Grogu.
Right. And so to me, like, that was very positive character arc. And I didn't see in that moment, he didn't look like he was regretting it. Mm-hmm. So now starting, and that's why I was like, did I miss something in Boba Fett that made it even a bigger deal? But in the beginning of this, he's like, hardcore strict back to I gotta stick to my ways and I'm gonna go bathe in these magical waters because I can't believe I'm banished. And he just feels like a wimp. Like, he just feels like he feels like he's degraded and now he's
at least
stand for something, even if it's not what your whole clan stands for. Stand behind your decision. And it feels like, oh my, I'm so sorry, let me go bathe in the waters and let me bow to you, I'm sorry.
It's like he changed where he believed where he belonged, and then he goes and tries to be back with the old Mandalorian.
Yeah, it's like, why are we going backwards? Like,
you already decided you don't belong there. Why are you trying to belong there?
That's what I got from it. Maybe you don't agree.
Yeah.
But you helped me verbalize it, so.
No, I see that for sure. I absolutely do. And it's a little inconsistent with his character, and maybe it's because they're trying so hard to make things happen and just have content. I don't know.
We're two episodes in and I'm feeling like they are struggling they're just writing things in to, like you said, just to have things for them to do, even if they don't make sense.
Right. And that's the thing I didn't want this show to be. Because that's what Obi-Wan was to me.
Yeah.
And I don't want this to be that. And I don't, as much as I kind of don't care that much about the Ahsoka character. Maybe they'll change my mind. That being said, I really thought The Mandalorian was going to be a really stupid show because it wasn't Boba Fett who they were talking about. Yeah. They're talking about some other guy. But obviously, I was extremely wrong about that. But I don't know. It really makes me curious about where the end of the show is going to be. And I'm always wondering that. Where are they going to take the show when I'm watching it? But usually, I'm doing that with excitement.
Right. So far, I just feel like they're having the characters make decisions that will cause conflict. It's like, hey, we're making this decision because we know it's going to cause conflict. Mm-hmm. That way it gives us something to do, and then we have to resolve it. But it's very cut and dry. It's like, we know that by him doing this, it's going to cause conflict, and then it's going to get resolved by either this way or this way. And that, it's going to happen one of two ways, and then it always does. And you're like, now, then they make another decision of the same thing. Example.
Give you an example.
Yeah, no, you go first.
The same example that you're going to say. For instance, back to what you were saying about how he is always portrayed as I said he was portrayed as a badass all the time, and then he does something completely stupid. Like, the fact that interesting General Grievous-like robot character that's on Mandalore, just all that stuff, they just kick his ass and capture him.
Yeah.
And strip him of his weapons. I'm like, I feel like he would not fall for that.
Yeah, that's something I... that's an example, but not the one I was going to give.
Okay.
Example I was going to give was the battle droid that, like, originally was supposed to kill Grogu in Season 1 when he first found him. And then I believe it was Season 2, or was the end of Season 1?
Regardless. Season 1.
He becomes, like, a good robot and helps...
A nanny bot.
Yeah, helps protect Grogu. And so he finds the statue of him, which has his old parts, and he's like,
"Yeah,
I need the..." And he goes up to that guy, and he's like, "I need this droid." He's like, "Why? Like, that's not..." It's like, because I need his help, because I need to go to...
He needs a robot he can trust.
I need... Yeah, because I have to go to the planet of Mandalore, and this whole... to have somebody test out the air, basically. And yeah. I'm like, I'm trying to think, okay, there's got to be a reason he needs this robot specifically, because it seems like a decision he's making that he's... They're writing in them making these decisions without the characters actually properly thinking, because it makes no sense for him to be so gung-ho about, "I need this robot." Did he trust that robot? Yes, but it took him a long time to trust that robot because the robot originally was supposed to kill Grogu.
Right.
Regardless, he trusted it, whatever. And I'm like, there must be a good reason he needs this one specifically. And there's not. There's no good reason that he needs it specifically, which I find out later.
Yeah.
And the thing comes alive and then tries to kill Grogu, and he still goes, "Let's still fix it." I'm like, why? Why? Get another robot. What is this one doing? Nothing. All we find out that, because later he meets that mechanic lady or whatever, and she's like, "Yeah. Oh, I don't have the part to fix your droid, but just bring this droid. This R..." Not this R2 R5. Unit, but R5, whatever.
Which I will say, they made this ship specifically so Grogu has a little cockpit.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's cool. That's cute. And
yeah,
it's a cool theme to have.
Sure, whatever.
And then they're like, "All right, we're getting rid of it and we're giving you a droid now."
Okay.
That's not a big thing, but I was like...
Anyways, my point is that she was like, "Just take this unit." He's like, "Oh, I can't. It's not going to work. I need my droid." And then he's like, "What do you need it for?" It's like, "I need someone to be able to test whether the air is clean."
A droid like, rated for spelunking. I'm like,
that's it? That's the only reason you needed this this droid that is going to kill your son, basically?
Right.
You're making that decision with no real actually putting thought into it, because what bothers me is that things just change so quickly. It's like, with the snap of a finger, this decision is made. There's a problem. Oh, just do this. Oh, easily fixed. Everything has such an easy solution. And she goes, "Take the robot." He goes, "No." She goes, "Yes." He goes, "Okay." Takes the robot. Guess what? Works perfectly fine. So I'm like, why did we spend the whole first episode doing this thing that was already a dumb decision because the robot wanted to kill your kid?
Yeah.
And then the robot gets, or the droid gets out, and he's like, "Yeah, go test the air." It goes, disappears. He looks at Grogu and says, "Well, I didn't really want to have to do this on my own. This is really droid work, but I was trying to not have to do this on my own." Right. I'm like, wait, so you could have done it on your own? And you went through all this hassle and saying you need this to be done for an episode and a half for you to just be able to do it yourself if you really wanted to. Like, they're creating problems that aren't there just to... It's all filler. And then I figure out that none of these problems are actually problems. And it drives me insane. I can't... And the exposition... I'm going on a long rant. I'm going to let you talk after this.
No, no, I agree with you. That's the thing. Is like, I'm like, yeah.
The exposition. Yeah. It's the show don't tell. You need exposition. You need talking to for some exposition. But if the entirety of the audience understanding is just explaining to them in a verbal way, why is this not just a podcast or audiobook? Why is this a visual learning, like a visual medium as well? Because the amount of times that Mando speaks to Grogu about what's happening, and it's not...
How many times is he going to tell him, "This is why you need to navigate the stars"?
It's like the amount... It's like they're going through that cave, or like they're landing, and he's like, "Oh yeah, this is this, and this is why this is here, and this is this." And I'm like, first of all, Grogu is supposed to be smart, so he's supposed to be retaining this. I understand that he is trying to teach him things. But it's very clear they're doing this to tell the audience what's happening. Right. And they're doing it way too often that it's very unbelievable. And I know Grogu's supposed to be smart, so he's supposed to be retaining this information. But the way they portray Grogu, I don't buy it. Not at all. I feel like they're telling a child who was born 6 months ago information, and the kid's going, and not understanding a single word they're saying. Maybe he is, but I don't feel like he is. It just feels like they're talking to a dumb little idiot who's not retaining
little idiot. That's a good way
any information.
To describe it.
And so it feels even more egregious that they're just trying to tell the audience in a way that is not authentic. It just feels so...
Well, it's like there's so many ways that they are giving exposition that doesn't need to be there. Like, I get it. What's her name? Gina Carano, the Cara Dune character. Obviously, she got fired or whatever, and they didn't need to give a reason why she's not there.
Right.
Like I know that. Like that whole, you could just neglect that. Don't even worry about it. Like, I get it. It's complicated. It's whatever.
The amount that they were walking through, and Mando and Grogu were walking through like the ruins of Mandalore, and it took so long for them to walk through. And there was one scene, there was one shot where they're walking, and they're trying to find staircase down or whatever to get deeper, and they're walking, they're getting deeper, and they're in this cave, and they keep walking, and then he goes, "Look there, a staircase downwards." And they go towards it. I'm like, why did you say that? You don't have to say that. You don't have to show it. Just go. Just do it.
No, just it's do like, it. All right. So if you want to just have a conversation or something, have him talk about the old days of Mandalore. Like, do something like
and
that.
There's no conversation happening. At least if you're going to have exposition, have it in a conversation. It's, I'm talking to a little dumb idiot. That's it.
Yeah.
That feels like it's not retaining any
stairs. Info. It's like, those are thoughts in your head.
Yes, exactly.
Not speech in your mouth.
Just show him walking down the stairs. We will understand it.
It's like it's caveman speech. It's like, hungry. Blue milk.
And I don't feel, there is no sense of urgency. There is no sense of risk. There is no sense of like, I just don't feel like that he's in danger. I never do. I feel like, oh, he's going to get trapped in the situation and he's either going to find a way out. Someone's going to save him. And yeah, that happens in a lot of movies, a lot of shows, but like it always just happens in such a generic way that I just don't care. I don't know. It's such a bummer. These first two episodes just gave me nothing.
They gave you a lot of blah.
And dude, Grogu, it was so cheesy and it's so dumb, and it makes Grogu escaping the depths of the mines on his own doing the, that's why when you mentioned the front flips, I was like watching Grogu do these flips through the air. It looks terrible. It looks bad.
Yeah.
Grogu, because he's like, I think they wanted to make him more puppet-like because people have been complaining about CGI, so he does look more puppet-like. But the way they've done him, because he's got that weird like outfit on where you can't see his body at all or his legs, he just a little chunk that just kind of
flips.
Looks like someone's throwing him. It doesn't look like he's making any momentum himself.
Maybe that's what they did. They have like a guy on a grip on set that's just got
so
a baby
bad.
Yoda
it looks
doll
so bad.
And just throws it.
That's what it looks like. And the fact
well, the
that
thing is
like,
that when he walks, it looks decent.
Yeah, like, the walking's fine. He waddles great and stuff. That's cool. But when he jumps around, don't tell me that this child, I know that he's 50, but if he's
this
50
year old child,
if he's quote 50, this is, we're talking like dog years, right? It's like a different frame
reverse,
of reference.
Reverse dog ears.
Right,
that's
it's a different
perfect
frame of reference. It's because these Yoda Grogu creatures live to be so long that they don't mature as quickly. So a 50-year-old to them is a 2-year-old to humans.
Right.
So don't tell me he can navigate a ship. It was so absurd when he flew back to what's her name.
Well, yeah, I mean, he maybe that is why they kept talking about navigating the stars, and he did say, this is where Ahsoka Tano is.
I agree. I don't care. It again, I felt like he's like, dude, every time he says to Grogu something, Grogu just goes, and gives him an ugly face.
He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Like, it's like when a dog, it's like when you say something to a dog, like, you want a treat, and they give you the ears to go, and they turn their head sideways, like, what?
It's really hard to watch for me, because the way they portray Grogu is this cute little adorable little piece of doo-doo who can't really do anything, which is adorable, and
Yodoo.
That's it's appropriate if that's how you're going to treat him, but then don't show me he can do all these crazy things.
Don't make him extremely competent in some facets and extremely idiotic in others.
And he's escaping these mines or whatever, and he's in his little floaty chair, and then like this monster jumps out right before he's going to get out of the cave, and all he does is this. Just raises his hand and uses the Force.
I know.
That's my point, is you put him in a bad situation, oh, he's fine, he can use the Force. There are such easy outs for all these characters in the show that I don't feel like anyone is threatened, ever. Ever. Yeah. So it's like, what are we doing?
It would make more sense if the way that he uses the Force, if he just didn't use it all the time. It's like if it's used sparingly, like once in a blue moon, like it just barely saves their asses or something.
Right,
no,
and
that makes sense.
Or if he does it in moments when he doesn't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. It's very clear that he seems like he knows what he's doing. He was threatened. This monster was about to attack him.
Yeah.
And he used the Force. And we're supposed to, like, I guess it was a heroic moment, and it played this heroic music, and I'm just kind of laughing. I'm like, this is silly.
It's just
It felt
cheesy.
Like watching, like, Family Guy,
it's bad
and you see
service.
Stewie coming out and doing all this crazy stuff. Like, and he's just like,
Doug,
all of a sudden can
new voice,
sword
new voice.
Fight, which he can do all that crazy stuff mm-hmm. because of how, but it's because the show is a comedy. It's a comedy,
right.
And it's supposed to be absurd. This show doesn't seem like it knows what it wants to be, because when I see Grogu do the crazy stuff, I'm like, this is hilariously bad. Like, is that the point? I don't know. That's my opinion.
Well, that's the thing, is like throughout the first season, at least, Grogu was a crutch for the competency of the main characters. He was something holding them back. He was, because like they've got to keep him safe.
Yeah.
Because he is like this very valuable asset or whatever.
Yeah. And when he did do something cool, like the one time he did use the Force, he didn't know what he was doing. It was random and sporadic. And
he like passed out afterwards.
Yeah. And it took a lot of energy.
Or the one time in the first season, I don't know if you remember this scene, but he's with, they're with all the bounty hunter guys, and they're behind around the fire, and he accidentally starts Force choking somebody.
Right.
And he's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
Like, stop. No.
There's give and there always has to be give and take, because
yeah.
if any character can do anything they want at any point to get out of any situation,
it's like how
you
many
need
weeks,
conflict.
How
Every
many
story
weeks
needs
with,
conflict.
With Luke Skywalker just makes everything better. Like, however long he was with Luke, it just made him, all right, I've mastered the Force.
I mean, that's the problem with Rey, right? She could just do everything out of nowhere. But I almost feel like Grogu is worse. A worse example of it. But that's, geez. I don't know. So anyways, I'm so sorry. I know I've talked like 75%.
No, I mean, I will say this. I do feel like I am not so, I don't have as harsh of negative feelings about it as you do, but I do get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I do think those are negative, and those are definitely present in this show.
Yeah.
And it just makes no sense. Why they have such good methods throughout these first two seasons. And then, all right, you know what works, you know what doesn't work. Now, just do what you've been doing.
Yeah.
And don't change it up. Like, you know, like there's a method to their madness, and now there's just madness.
And now there's just
no
madness.
Method.
No method. Just a multiverse of madness. You see what I did there? But give me some positives. I've talked a lot. I'm sorry, but that is truly how I feel. The first two episodes have really not made me look forward to. And it's frustrating, because I've talked to multiple people about this, and they're like, well, at least The Mandalorian's fantastic so far.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've seen two episodes,
it's
and
okay.
So far it's not
okay.
Great.
It's not like the previous seasons.
I don't think it. I think it's not
okay.
Good, in my opinion, so far, for all the reasons I've explained. But that, again, that's my opinion, so...
Yeah.
I want to hear some of the positives from you, because maybe you'll change my mind.
So on Navarro, Navarro's changed. Greef Karga is the now, what was it? What was his title? The, not like chancellor, but he's like this mayor of this city. Now it's become a major import-export kind of trade base now. And everyone, what the heck happened in this short amount of time? This place was like,
Mac, I said give me positives.
No. I think it's cool. Like, it's definitely interesting, like, the effect that they show that what Mando's been doing and whatever
has
affected literally this big port.
Right.
The bar is now a school. I think it's funny, cute things. And Greef Karga's little... You notice his robe was being pulled by little mini robots?
Yes.
I'm like, what the hell is going on? But he still keeps that blaster on him.
He do.
No, I think the characters in here are still pretty... Like, his character is always kind of like a pain in my ass, but it's kind of charming in a way.
That character, yeah. I'll give you him. But again, what are we doing? What is this old Western shootout? Just shoot each other. Why are you waiting for the other person to pull the gun when you know you're going to pull the gun?
It's because they're in front of a school, dude. They don't want to shoot nobody in front of children.
I just hate
Wow, bad
scenes,
timing
but
on that.
Whatever.
Fuck, ah, jeez.
Oh my god. Anyways.
I'm going to hell.
No, you're not.
But no, I think it's just I think it what that does is kind of set a pace for like, all right, we know that what the Mandalorian is doing is for the good. He is a He is a good guy, I guess.
Right.
Quote unquote. And
he is the protagonist.
He is the protagonist.
Mm. A heroic protagonist.
What's the
protagonist doesn't necessarily mean good.
No, but where would you place him? Like he's not a chaotic neutral. Like what's that whole scale?
Oh, like the Dungeons and Dragons.
The Dungeons and Dragons like motive scale or whatever.
I don't know.
But now you're seeing the positive effects of him being in this area and the things that he's done and accomplished. It's made people's lives better.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see that and cool to see that people care about him.
Another thing that bothers me, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Is why are we bringing, I know it's for the show, but that's a horrible excuse just because we want to see it as an audience. He's adorable. Why are you bringing Grogu everywhere?
Because he's a sidekick.
It's so dangerous. If you're trying to protect this kid...
Technically, he should be nowhere near
No, you should not want him anywhere on you. Don't take him on your adventures where you're trying to, like... Where you're, like, slaying monsters and stuff. That's horrible... I know you want to train him, but again, in, like, human years, he's, like, one. So, maybe wait. Or if you're going to train him in a training facility, don't take him on your adventures before he's trained while he's 1 year old.
Yeah.
It bothers me, but
whatever. It's like, Din Djarin and the Mandalorian is just... Everything crappy happens around him.
And at least, like, it made sense in the first season.
Why would you want to be around a guy that is constantly being attacked?
Well, again, it's not... I understand why Grogu wants to be around him, because, like, he's his father. But it's like, the father should say, no, I'm going to go kill people, so you shouldn't come.
I'm going to go on these dangerous missions. Yeah.
It made sense why he was with him on the first season, because he was trying to deliver him somewhere, so he had to be with him and protect him the whole time. But now, he's like, oh, no, he's like my child, so... Okay, well then maybe leave him at least in the ship or at home. I don't know where your home is because you don't really have one, but leave him with his uncle, the guy from who we were talking about in the first episode.
Grief Karga.
Yeah, like something. I don't know. It's just the decisions people make, man, that kills me.
Yeah, but he's sent on a quest again, another quest.
Wow, more quests.
By the armorer. All right, I'm going to say something negative about this show. When she's fighting the big alligator thing, you notice how everyone's got these blasters and weapons and all this equipment. She just goes after him with a freaking hammer.
Dude, I don't the armor character frustrates me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool like as an interesting character with like,
but she should be
mysterious.
She should stay a mysterious character who stays in the shadows and makes armor. The intrigue about her is she's mysterious. The second you give her more stuff to do, she loses. She's like, oh, you're not as interesting as I thought you were.
Yeah. But
that's just like Nick Fury about his eye patch. We never should have found out what actually took his eye because that was the intrigue.
Oh,
and then we found out it was
man.
A cat. My God.
Well, also, they kind of like pull the rug out from under you. They're like, I trust somebody. That's how I lost my eye.
Last time I trust somebody, I lost an eye.
It was a freaking cat, bro. Why are you worried?
That's retcon, dude. That's retcon. I'm telling you. In Winter Soldier, there is no way they knew that's what it was.
No, not a chance.
And then someone decided to make the most garbage movie called Captain Marvel and just destroy everything. But
anyway.
Okay, sorry, Mac. Positives.
Positives. I do... As stupid as some of the kind of the whole separation of all these sects of Mandalorians are, the quest that he's on to gain redemption because he says he's an apostate and all this these things, it's interesting and it
yeah,
I like that idea. If it wasn't for all the kind of his opinions changing on who he wants
right,
to be.
Right, right. If that hadn't happened.
If that hadn't happened, and, you know, because it's multiple times he took off his helmet in front of people.
Yeah.
If it was just the one time in front of Grogu in that scene,
yeah,
this would have made more sense to me. But he still wants to do that. But I think I see where they're trying to direct him. They're trying to direct him because, yes, he has the Darksaber, which the leader of Mandalore is supposed to have wield the Darksaber. I get that. And they keep on talking up the Mythosaur.
Ooh.
This ancient beast that the original Mandalore rode and all these things.
Is that what was underwater?
Yes, it was. There hasn't been one seen in thousands of years.
Oh, my God.
Or whatever. I don't know.
That's another dumb thing.
What, the Mythosaur?
No, whatever the giant creature was underwater, whether it is a Mythosaur
it
or whatever.
Is. It is absolutely a Mythosaur.
It pulls him down underwater.
And then just leaves nothing.
If an animal's going to pull you down, they're going to either tear you apart and then realize, oh, I thought I wanted to eat you, but I don't. You're not what I want to eat. But they would tear you apart in the process, or they would just eat you. They wouldn't be like, let me pull you down to the bottom of the ocean and then just leave you here.
Yeah, I think
again, easy way out. Oh, let's have her dive down and save him because he's fine because the monster just went, ooh, I don't really want
to. I was a backseat rider on this, what I would have probably done is either make that the creature that brought him down and make it obvious that that was a creature that brought him down by making them fight it or something, or make another creature that is vicious looking and something take it down, and then the Mythosaur take that thing out and be like, what the hell is this giant beast?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the Mythosaur.
Right.
Something. That would have been a better big reveal than this.
It's like, it was just a waste of time for them to go down and then bring him back up. It's like, well, we knew he wasn't going to die, which is fine. Again, a lot of you're talking about movies and TV shows where there's main characters. You know there's going to be more episodes. You know they're not going to die in all these other shows. Make us think something's going to happen, though. Something. At least make it worth our time. Don't just pull him underwater and then have someone go grab him and come bring him back up.
This is what I'm going to tell you is going to happen. And it's a big thing that literally they're retelling certain aspects of the story. Dang, we're just shitting on this whole episode.
I'm sorry.
All right. So in Boba Fett, there's this big hint at the Rancor, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the Fetts had them. They use them as pets or whatever, and people used to ride Rancors, and stuff as into battle and all these things. Well. Boba Fett, like, the whole show is him hinting at, oh, I have this Rancor now. I want to learn to ride it. And everyone knew that was going to happen. And the last episode, he rides it and fights this guy.
Of course.
It was very anticlimactic. I was like, this is kind of lame. It looks like one of those weird things in a video game where you're fighting a giant ogre and then you can just hop on its back and, like, choke its neck and make it hit things and stuff. That's literally what it was like.
Nice.
Straight out of God of War. In this, all right, he has the Darksaber. Leader of Mandalore has the Darksaber. And the leader of Mandalore once rode the giant Mythosaur.
Yeah.
$500. I will shake on it. He is going to ride it. Or the other Mandalorian girl.
Bo-Katan.
Bo-Katan will be the one to ride it and wield the Darksaber.
Yeah.
One of those two will do it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I hate it that it's that obvious. I wish they would have saved this or told it in a different way. But
yeah,
you obviously know that's going to happen.
Or, I mean, again, like, you're talking about, like, again, I'm trying to relate it to, like, superhero movies where it's like, okay, you know what's probably going to happen. But it's like, it's more about how they get there and the tactics they use. Yeah. And, like, the risk versus reward for these characters. And if it's very cut and dry through that entire process, then it's like, okay, what are we doing? But positive, I will agree with you. I like the idea of, like, this, you build out the world, the mythos of all this, like, the different clans, and, like, it's almost like medieval-esque of, like, all the knights and, like, all the rules and, like, creeds that they live by and, like, the things that they have to do to redeem themselves. Very fantasy, medieval, like, and I like that they're doing that in this space way, right? That they have that. So, like, that he has to go to these waters to, like, cleanse himself. And it's like, it does make it interesting. I do agree. It just bothers me because, like we said, it feels like he's just going backwards in his character development. Yeah. But if he was supposed to be a character that's like, oh, I'm diehard to the creed, and he becomes this noble warrior through the creed, and you get to learn about all these different backstories of the creeds. I've said the word creed a lot, but you know what I'm saying? Like the way that these warriors come about. I get that, but I was interested in the story of like he's going against.
Take me higher to a place where blind men can see.
I'm sorry, I made you lose your train of thought, didn't I?
All I'm saying is I was interested in the guy who was all about those creeds, but then was making these decisions to go against them for the better good, for his better good.
Yeah. So answer this question for me, because I'm really kind of interested, because, like I said, I'm 100% in belief that he will ride it and he will be the leader of all the Mandalorians ever and always, whatever. You think he will make a rule against, from here on out, you can take your helmet off, or from here on out, you
with arms wide open,
keep your helmet on your head.
I'm
don't
sorry.
Take it
all
off.
I can hear is Creed songs.
With arms wide open.
He gets his jetpack.
Can you take me higher? Little Grogu.
What were you asking me?
Do you think he's going to make like a law or something saying, from here on out, you don't have to wear your helmet, or from here on out, you have to wear your helmet all the time?
Oh, like he's going to become the leader of all the Mandalorians, and then, sure, I hope so. I hope that he tries to go back to the creed, maybe becomes the leader right before he does. He's like,
there's going
to
be a speech. Well, we judge you not by how you wear your helmet, but by how your face actually
looks. I have a dream. I have a dream where one day we could remove our helmets.
Amen.
And would not be judged by the ugliness of our faces. I hope that there is some sort of change of like where he does go back and he is battling like the back and forth. Like he went, okay, I'm kind of against this whole, the creed of like the Mandalorians. And then he goes, well, I am kind of second guessing everything I've grown up with and lived with. So maybe that's why he goes back.
That's
going to
be a big thing. It's just him torn between these two things.
Right. So it's like, but we gotta address this quickly, because it's like, we need to see that he is torn and then does want to go back and can appreciate the good parts of the creeds and then the bad parts and make the changes. I don't know. Yeah. I hope.
You know what I want to see? Hmm. I want to see him get angry at something.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever been angry at anything.
Yeah, he does talk very monotone.
He's very monotone. And even when he's like injured, he's just like, kid, are you okay?
Yeah.
Grab Grogu.
Okay, positives.
Get the saber.
Positives. I'm really trying
visually,
to
visually, everything looks great. They've knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, it's been pretty. Yeah, I will
in,
say.
In Boba Fett, you could see where they put all their money in the visual effects. Sucks. But you can see where they had it and where they didn't have it. This is very consistent.
I will
episodes.
Say so far, I haven't had any moments where I'm like, that looks terrible. So, yeah. No, I think you're.
And it's. I am interesting. I'm interested in to see where him and Bo-Katan kind of how they team up, what it's going to look like, because them together, like doing buddy cop stuff, not really buddy cop, but kind of just two.
Maybe that's why they had him go backwards on some of his thought process, because she is so anti
them.
Yeah. The
children of the watch.
Yeah. And so they want the dynamic between them two to be interesting. You know what I mean? Because if they just agreed on everything, it wouldn't be interesting.
No.
So maybe that's it?
Yeah, I'd like to see them kind of clash and kind of really kind of hash it out together. Like, that's where he'll get angry. That'll be the good part.
Don't make me remove my helmet. I know you're trying. I know you took it off while I was asleep. What is wrong with you?
Delete those photos now. Let me see your phone.
Grogu comes up.
You ain't gaming on your phone? It's like, all you're doing is letting him play Flappy Bird.
Put some Cocomelon on for him.
Space Cocomelon.
Could you imagine they're just walking through the desert like to their next location, and there's Grogu and his little basket hovering behind them, and you just hear kind of... as they're walking, they have a conversation in the background, you just hear...
Going on a trip in our favorite rocket ship, zooming through the sky, little lion's eyes.
And you're like,
oh gosh,
just like he's on his little iPhone in the back.
So you curious? That's going to be one of those things. There's going to be people that spend thousands and thousands of dollars going to Disney's new Galactic Star Cruiser a hotel thing. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, I have. I've seen it.
I think I've spoken about it already.
Awesome.
It does look cool. But could you imagine those, like, kind of those really, like, hardcore, like, really probably not fun to be around super fans of Star Wars that are just like, I'm live action role playing in Disney World. If I see anybody with an iPhone out, I'm going to chop their hands off with my lightsaber. Like those kind of people, like just all of a sudden coming across like a family of like five and the littlest one's like three and she's in a stroller with watching freaking Barney or something. He's like, damn it, there was no Barney back then. It was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
There was no Barney on Tatooine.
They just had two sons in sand. Inconceivable.
The only little dinosaur creatures I saw were
Tauntauns.
Oh, God.
Oh, one more thing. I just want to ask you. Did you see them when they were in Lightspeed? Did you see what I saw?
Lightspeed squids?
Dude, they're space whales.
Those were not whales. They had tentacles.
So, again, this
and
is
what
I need
are
to see
those?
So, in Rebels, there are these beings that...
here we go.
There's so many weird things. So, there are these beings that eat... they eat some kind of spaceship fuel. That's what they eat. That's spaceship fuel is just on a planet somewhere, and they eat it. Well, that's the fuel that they use to hit lightspeed. And these animals can actually travel at lightspeed on command. God. It's really interesting. And so basically, there's this big character who's been big in Legends and stuff who in the Star Wars universe called Admiral Thrawn. Big, crazy guy. Not big, but like he's this blue dude with red eyes, and he's kind of intimidating. Mm-hmm. He's not big in stature or anything, but he's apparently just a tank. I don't know. And these Jedis can't kill him. So the only thing they did was they put him on this whale, and the whale went into light speed. And that was the last you see of him. And there's big talks of him coming back as like one of the big bads in this show.
What is Star Wars? What even is Star Wars anymore?
Whales. Bro, there's time travel in Star Wars. I don't want to talk about it.
Of course there is.
Rebels changed the world.
Yeah, okay.
Or at least the galaxy a long time ago.
Well, look. I like the first two seasons of Mandalorian.
You're not sold yet, though.
I will reserve hope still for this third season. But so far, it is off to a not-so-good start, in my opinion. This is my opinion. I've given you examples of why I believe this way. And I hope it gets better. I do, because we will be reviewing it. So yeah, I'm going to be watching it. So I really hope it gets better.
And I agree with you on that. I'm not sold yet. There's still hope. Yes.
Maybe we need to not hold on to the hope that we've had. Just maybe we need a new hope.
We need a new one, yeah.
A new hope.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty glonky.
That was pretty glonky.
Pretty glonky.
Full circle. Yeah, that's all I have to say about it. I really don't have anything else. Unfortunately, it was mainly negative stuff, which sucks. Look, it's fun to rag on stuff every once in a while, but like, I don't want to just be the negative guy, and I hate to be that guy.
Hey, look, I'm just glad R5 is in there, and he's getting his time to shine, because in everything he's been in, he's just blown up and fallen apart.
Well, he's still a doofus in this one, too. He went into this place and got knocked over by these little monsters, and Mando had to come save him, so.
I hope he's just, like, my favorite character in this.
Is it the same R5 unit, though?
It is the same. That is the thing, is, like, it has just been in everywhere and gets shit on.
Get shit on. Well, that's all I got for this. I really hope it gets better, because I've not been sold. Come on, man. Come on, Star Wars.
Man,
come on, Disney. Give us some good stuff, please. Yeah.
I think if they just got to invest, man. They've got to invest. Yeah. I'll say it till the cows come home. The space cows.
And I like Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau has created The Mandalorian. I like The Mandalorian as a whole. So I don't know what happened. Like, I'm not even blaming him, because like it said written by Jon Favreau when I was watching it in the credits or whatever. And I'm like, I think he's written most, if not all, the other episodes or had a part in them. So it's like,
I think it's a slow start.
He's
I think
made
it's,
a lot of stuff, a lot of really good things.
Slow,
so hopefully, it doesn't
slow, slow start to this.
And I'm not gonna judge him, because like I'll still watch stuff he does.
Yeah.
Even if this one's bad, it could be for a multitude of reasons if it doesn't end up well. But whatever,
it'll take off. I promise.
Okay.
I've got my fingers crossed, but it, when I said that, so you promise. I don't really promise, but
hopefully it does. Till next time, though. That's Mandalorian, brother.
Yep.
And I'm assuming we will talk to you guys next time, and it'll probably be episodes 3 and 4, depending on how long it is, because I have to take a week hiatus.
What?
I got to take a week hiatus. We might just do 4 episodes, just so we're not super far behind, because we'll have like 2 weeks to watch them. So whatever. Next episode will probably be Mandalorian again, though.
All right.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, won't be bad. Won't be too bad. Bro, I got 10 weeks till a baby. I have my own little baby Yoda.
It's that soon?
10 weeks till I have my own little baby Yoda.
Please name him Grogu.
His little baby Grogu.
We say him Grogu.
That's his middle name.
That's great. All right, I'm tired. I'm going to go home and go to sleep. Right. It's been fun. Thanks, guys.
Good night.
We'll talk to you next time.